Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Plack, it's good to see you tonight, this morning. This is morning, right? I'm used to night. My title this morning is We Will Ride. Are you riding?
Yes.
We'll see. Thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house again this morning. We thank you for this precious revival that you called throughout the land. Not only here, but throughout the land, Father. That your children's lives would be changed, that their minds will be resurrected, and that they will come forth and do the great and mighty works that you called them forth to do in your army, Father. Father, we just thank you for being here in our midst this morning, for the worship being a sweet-smelling essence under thy nostrils, and that you have come down to sup with us. Father God, I want you to touch your children throughout the teaching. Keep moving among us and do your mighty works. Father God, I want you to heal all that need healed, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever, Father. Just heal them this morning. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And now, what about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to meet him? Please don't be upset and excited, dear brothers, by the rumor that this day of the Lord has already begun. If you hear of people having visions and special messages from God about this, or letters that are supposed to have come from me, don't believe them. Don't be carried away and deceived, regardless of what they say, for that day will not come until two things happen. First, there will be a time of great rebellion against God, and then the man of rebellion will come, the son of hell. He will defy every good there is. He will defy every God there is and tear down every other object of adoration and worship. He will go in and set it as God in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? And you know what is keeping him from being here already, for he can come only when his time is ready. As for the work this man of rebellion in hell will do when he comes, it is already going on, but he himself will not come until the one who is holding him back steps out of the way. Then this wicked one will appear, whom the Lord Jesus will burn up with the breath of his mouth and destroy by his presence when he returns. This man of sin will come as Satan's tool, full of satanic power, and will trick everyone with strange demonstrations and will do great miracles. He will completely fool those who are on their way to hell because they have said no to the truth. They have refused to believe it and love it and let it save them. So God will allow them to believe lies with all their hearts, and all of them will be justly judged for believing falsehood, refusing the truth, and enjoying their sins. But we must forever give thanks to God for you, our brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose from the very first to give you salvation, cleansing you by the work of the Holy Spirit and by your trusting in the truth. Through us he told you the good news. Through us he called you to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the truth that we taught you in our letters and during the time we were with you. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and hope, which we don't deserve, comfort your hearts with all comfort and help you in every good thing you say and do. Let's go back to verse 10, Nancy. Well, verse 9. This man of sin will come as Satan's tool, full of satanic power, and will trick everyone with strange demonstrations and will do great miracles. He will completely fool those who are on their way to hell because they have said no to the truth. They have refused to believe it and love it and let it save them. I do not want anybody here to have this describe you. I hope that you are not one who has said no to the truth of the word and have refused Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I hope that you're not on your way to hell. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, What is faith? It is a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. What is faith? It is a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is a certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Men of God in days of old were famous for their faith. By faith, by believing God, we know that the world and the stars, in fact, all things were made at God's command, and that they were all made from things that can't be seen. Do you believe that? You have to believe that if you're on your way to heaven. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with the names of saints of old who rode with God by faith. As you read about them, can you hear them saying, "We will ride"? You know, if you read about the men of old in the Bible, everything they did was total faith. They had to trust and believe that there was a God. With all the difficulties that they went through and all the hard times and all the persecutions, if they didn't have faith that there was a God, they would have been destroyed. But these men of old, they had faith. They had trust in God. They knew he was real. They knew he existed. They didn't have to have him come down and sit with them. And they didn't have to feel him. They just knew he was God. And whatever he asked them to do, they did. They did not question him. Read about it in your word. When they went out to battle, they always went before the Lord first and asked him how to do the battle. And they didn't question. They just went ahead and followed his instructions, and they won every time. We in the body of Christ today, we don't do that. We don't go to God and ask him how we should do something, when we should do it, or where we should do it. We just do it because that's what we feel like doing. And then we get in a mess, and then we start blaming God. We need to stop that. God wants us to start walking by total and complete faith, never wavering, not for one second in your faith, but just totally and completely trust him. All right, I said, so these were, there they go by faith, receiving the blessings of God. By faith, these men and women subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. If you think about how they lived in those days, they lived crudely, did they not? But these are the things that they did with what they had. They had stones, slingshots, swords, They didn't have what we have today, but by faith, these men and women subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Escaped by faith. Can you hear that same sound today? It is the sound of those who are riding by faith. It is the sound of those who are possessing the promises of God. They are riding by faith to receive what God has said is already theirs. Go back into your prophetic words and read what God said to you. What he said to you, start claiming it right now, because this is your year of jubilee. This is a year that God wants to bring every single solitary promise to pass that he's been promising you all those years in the past. Come on. You don't believe in, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. You don't believe, so therefore you don't receive. You say with your lips one thing, but in your heart you do something totally different. And from the heart the mouth speaketh. Saints, you have to start walking by faith. I don't know how many years ago God said to me, he said, "Daughter, from this moment forth, you will walk by total faith. You will walk one day at a time, not two, but one day at a time." And at that point, he cut off his voice from me. So I had to walk every day by faith, trusting and believing that he was still with me, knowing that he had not told me he was finished with me, knowing that if he sent me into this dark, quiet place, and he was holding my hand. And I just walked. I couldn't sit down. I had to keep walking. That's truly walking by faith, especially when you're used to hearing God's voice continually. Then all of a sudden, nothing. Silence. Darkness. And yet he told me beforehand, daughter, from this day forth, you have to walk by pure faith. But before he told me that, he had me preach for about a year on about building up your faith. See, so by teaching it, I should have been building up my faith, which I was, but I wasn't expecting what he said. So a lot of us, God is asking us to do things, and we don't understand that something is coming because of what he just asked you to do. So what you have to do is start building up your faith, right? If you haven't, you start building up your faith today. And don't waver. It is a sound of those who are riding by faith. It is the sound of those who are possessing the promises of God. Possess his promises. Quit allowing the enemy to tell you that God didn't speak that to you. You tell him to leave. You tell him that he's the liar. And you start receiving. These people are riding by faith to receive what God has said is already theirs. They have the promises of God lined up in their sights, and they are not letting go. See, this is where we fail. We do not have the promises of God lined up in our sights. We're living each day, all right, but we're living each day by what we see, the circumstances of life that go around about us. We do not have God's ultimate plan written down as a vision. We have to do that. If not, you'll have no direction. And you'll start going on off on a lot of side roads, and you'll get all messed up. All right, you say, well, God promised that 5 years ago. Hey, some things he promised me 30 years ago. They will come to pass in his timing. But he gave me those promises so to encourage me to keep going. I keep thinking, well, you told me this, you told me this, and you told me this. It hasn't happened, but it will happen because your word is yes, and it's amen. All right? These people are riding to the beat of a different drummer. I was wishing I had a drummer because I was going to have somebody give me a drum roll about now. You know? These people are riding to the beat of a different drummer. You're not riding with the beat of the world. There's something that's flared up inside of you and set you on fire, and you're riding with the drum beat of God. And you want everything that he has for you. And you want to be exalted in his heavenly places. You want to sit at his feet and be instructed by him. You're tired of this beggarly elements that's in this world. So they are riding by faith in a God who has said that all things are possible to those who believe. They are riding by faith in a God who has said that all things are possible to those who believe. They are riding by faith in a God who has promised to supply whatever they need. You're going to have to know this. They are riding by faith in a God who has promised to supply whatever they need. That state that was the flood, some people were saying we will never be able to rebuild. They are so devastated. They have no faith, no trust in anything, and they've given up. There's no way we can build again. Yes, there is. You know, God can build anything out of the ashes, right? He can make any road straight. He can lift any one of us up out of the miry clay because he's the master of the universe. He is not going to leave his children. He is not. Or don't you believe you're his child? See, that's the problem. We don't understand that we are God's child and not Satan's child. We don't understand that God formed us in our mother's womb. Satan did not. He hasn't made anything beautiful whatsoever. And you're each and every one of you are beautiful in your own way because you are unique and you're different. And we need to understand that. Don't try to be like somebody else because it's not going to work because when God made you, he threw away the mold. And aren't you glad he threw away the mold when he made you? I don't want two of us anywhere, do you? No. One of us is a handful. We don't need two. You can smile, Adam. Thank you. All right, they are riding by faith in a God who has promised to supply whatever they need. You know, if God, and he did, fed the thousands with one fish and one loaf of bread, what makes you think he can't feed you when a famine comes? If he can strike a rock and water can run out of it, what makes you think that you won't thirst to death if there's no water? But see, you're going to have to get your faith moving right now, because the darkness is coming across the land. It's already here, but it's going to get darker and darker. And if you don't have your faith moving right now, I don't know what's going to happen to you. All right, let's talk about where the flood was at. All those people that stored up all that food, it was probably floating down the river somewhere. Now what are they going to rely on to eat and drink? God. They're going to rely on God, I hope, to supply their needs. They can rely on God to rebuild their homes, their city. If they trust him, all things are possible. Look at the big earthquake. Where was it? In Italy? All those people died, and some people really got disgruntled with God. And I can't believe that this wonderful God would do this thing, and on and on and on. Instead of them praising God that they're alive, and praising God he's still on the throne, and praising God that he knows all things, they're cursing God. God, in his word, God tells us all this devastation is going to happen. But the problem is we don't believe it's going to happen to us. We always think it's going to happen to the other guy. I remember when I was counseling people a lot here in the church, a lot of people were having financial difficulties. And one day I was counseling somebody, and God said, "You're going to be in their shoes before too much longer." And they were dirt poor. And I had it all. And it wasn't too long till I was dirt poor. And I said, "I can't believe I got here." But God warned me, "You're going to be there." God had to take me there, I guess, for a purpose. I never thought I'd be one of those, because I've always had more than enough. Are you understanding this? Now I have to live day by day, penny by penny, faith by faith. Are you understanding this? You know, if you're going to lead others, you're going to have to go through the mess yourself, so that you have compassion for them and can understand where they're coming from, and you won't be so judgmental. All right? But I'm going to tell you right now, if you trust in your Father, if you trust him with every area of your life, he will lead you through your troubled times, and he will make a way. He really will. All right, listen, and you can hear them. These are the people riding by faith. As they ride, they face many obstacles. As you ride with, I heard y'all say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, Lord, yeah." All right, then you're going to face many obstacles. This is not a time for spineless, weak, anemic Christians. This is not a time for spineless, weak, anemic Christian. There are already too many of them that dot the landscape of our churches with doubt, unbelief, and fear. Our cry should be, "Deliver us, O Lord, from these cautious ones who never care to step out in faith over the aching void of nothingness, with only the word of God under them." In other words, just don't want to be around those who have doubt and unbelief in them, because they'll drag you down. You need to stay strong in the Lord. And when they start their stupidity, you say, "Hey, whoa, hold it right there. We serve a God that's more than enough. We serve a God that is a conqueror. We serve a God that has all power and all authority. Now we're going to praise him." Amen. I love that song we sing. It's more than a hallelujah, you know. It's where, you know, remember that song we sang, where the person, when the men are on the fighting field praying that they don't die, they're not saying, "I praise you, Jesus, I'm sitting here in this mud hole." Well, they aren't saying that. They're saying, "God, please don't let this be the day that I die." Amen. And see, her story is that God gave her that song, and he told her that, he said, people are falsely saying things that they don't even believe in her heart. You say, "Well, praise the Lord anyway." That's just something you're just saying. You aren't really praising God. It's sort of like a mockery. It's not a bad thing to sit and say, "Father, I'm hurting. Father, I really don't understand. Father, I really have a need. And right now I can't say hallelujah. Right now, I can't raise my hand and say, you're more than enough. Right now, I feel totally and completely defeated, but I do need you to come and give me peace. Amen. I remember when I was first born again, they used to say, well, if you say it long enough, you'll start believing it. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work for me. You know, it just doesn't work for me. But if I'm honest and I take it before the God and just let out the junk, he is faithful to come and set me at liberty. Our cry should be, deliver us, O Lord, from these cautious ones who never care to step out in faith over the aching void of nothingness with only the word of God under them. Help, you know, some people say, well, I want to see the whole picture before I'm going to do anything. Well, then you're never going to do anything for God. Help us, O Lord, not to be counted with the fearful and the cowardly. What a sad day it is when people will no longer ride by faith. When people will no longer face the challenge in front of them and step out in faith. Why am I doing praise and worship? God gave me a vision about the church one night. And he showed me people who weren't there, and so they're going to be ones that are believing. But then when he showed me the platform where the praise and worship leaders were, they weren't there, but there was darkness here. In other words, there were still sin natures in their life. And then God said to me, we're back to square one. It's just you and me. And you'll now take over leading praise and worship again. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then when the praise and worship leaders get it all together, then God will give it back into their hands. You know, I feel like I'm just starting over all over again. But by faith, I took on the chore. Took on the assignment. It's never, anything's a chore with God. Took on the assignment, and God's been meeting me at every turn. Amen. So, if God says to you, all right, we're back to square one. It's just you and I again. Then let it be square one. Don't hold it against anybody that you're back to square one. Just take his hand and say, okay, God, we did it before. We'll do it again. That song, he'll do it again. He will always do it again. You have to understand, nobody can stop your ministry except you. We used to have some really great praise and worship leaders. We really did. But each one of them got full of pride. Tried to take me out of the pulpit. And then they said, well, we'll just leave. We'll watch your fall. I never fell, but they did. Because, see, they didn't call me. They didn't make me. See, this is things you... See, now I had to stand by faith and all that, because they took everybody with them each time they went. So I had to stand by faith and just start building all over again. Because, see, I know who I am in Christ. I know that God has called me to do the things I'm doing. And so man can't tear me down. Are you listening here? Each one of you, so I walk totally by faith all the time. Each one of you have got to get that in your spirit. If God has called you, if he's made you, then he will keep you. And it doesn't matter what man or woman does, they can't stop you. All right? We're the Philadelphia Church, and Philadelphia Church says God has opened a door that no man can close. Nobody, no man can shut. He told me one time, no man can shut those doors, and I'm not going to let you shut them. Say, come on. And God's saying many failures will befall each and every one of us. But we don't have to stay down when we fail. We get ourselves back up. Sister Nancy wore a t-shirt in here yesterday. Said, I fall down 7 times and get up 8. You know, I said, that's pretty neat. A lot of us fall down one time, we stay down. We stay down there, we wallow in our mess, and we get going with a pity party, and good Lord, you're a mess to be around. Why do you do that? If you claim to be a child of God, if you claim to walk by faith, and claim that you have a God that's all-powerful, then why is it when Satan knocks you down, you stay down? What is it in you that won't let you get back up again? I'm hearing God say you don't have the tenacity to do it. And, you know, to be a child of God, we have to have tenacity. We have to be able to get up. When the devil's always going to come by and smack you in the knees to knock you down. You know he does. But do you stay down? Never. We always get back up again. I've never seen such a bunch of defeated Christians of what I see today. They get to whooping and carrying on. They're just so excited. And then here comes Satan. He has a pin to burst one of your bubbles. And there you are. You are walking around and the molly grubs. Oh, I'm never going to make this thing. I might as well go back to where I came from. And this isn't never going to work. Well, why would you ever do that? Why would you even think of that? There's no way I'd ever go back. Well, I never was. Wherever I was at was a good place. But I don't want to leave what God has given me. I really don't want to go back to just sitting in a dead church. Listen to a preacher preach a 15-minute sermon and go outside and tell dirty stories and smoke cigarettes. I don't want that, because that's not God. So I press forward to the high calling upon my life, and I walk by faith and not by sight. All right? All right, where am I at? This ride. This ride cannot be carried out by those who cower in the lap of what if. What does God say? Ride. What God is saying is ride, ride by faith. When God told Abraham to move, his wife said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. We're just packed a tent. We're leaving. He didn't say, what if? And when she asked the question, he said, he didn't care. Just pack up. We're leaving because God said so. How many of you do that when God tells you to do something? Well, God, where's the money coming from? Well, God, what if I don't make it? Well, God, what if somebody comes? You know, what if, what if, what if? That's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight. And God doesn't want that. All right, I said, this ride cannot be carried out by those who cower in the lap of what if. What does God say to you? He says, ride, ride by faith. Quit standing on the sidelines. Grab hold of the word of God. Jump out and begin to ride. Dare to open your mouth and say what God said. All right, this morning I got up early and I was in there studying for tonight. And then God started working, you know, messing with me about this morning service. I said, well, God, I have that done. He said, no, there's some things you forgot to do. Then he showed me getting up here and saying, whatever, what did I say? Give it up for Jesus. Whatever I said. I said, God, I can't do that. And he says, do it. And see, God took all that junk out of me and used me. But see, I had to step out by faith. All right, God, you told me to do this thing. So here I go. I could have said, Brett, will you go up here and tell them to give it all to Jesus? I used to do that kind of stuff. But God said, it's just him and I now. So I don't have anybody to lean on except God. And when God tells me to do something, I have to do it. And tell you the truth, I enjoyed it. Amen. It made me come alive. So whatever God asks you to do, he knows that maybe you're dying in some area. And he is asking you to do something to make you come alive again. Amen. And I keep dreaming about me dancing, Nancy. I'm going to do it one of these days. I see myself doing it. See, every service got the spirit moving, and I dance like crazy. I haven't done that for years, but lately I've been, a good month now, I see myself dancing before the Lord. By faith, I'm going to do it too. I just can't wait for it to happen. All right, quit standing on the sidelines. Grab hold of the word of God. Jump out and begin to ride. Dare to open your mouth. Dare to open your mouth and say what God said. I just dared and open my mouth and tell you what God told me to do. Now, begin riding by faith for your victory. I am not saying it will be easy. It won't be. Things will not always turn out the way you expected. No, they won't. The truth is you will experience a few setbacks. Yes, you will. And a few could be 100. All right. Heaven's Hall of Fame is filled with individuals who had setbacks. It's just, you know, look at David. Look at Peter. Paul. They all had setbacks. But they kept going even after failure and defeat. They persevered and believed God. Let's take Peter, for example. He denied not knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. And he went and hid, right? Watched from a distance. And then he went on to do great and mighty exploits for the Lord before he was martyred for the sake of Jesus. I mean, I would figure the ultimate sin is denying the Holy Spirit, but I would think in those days the ultimate sin would be denying that you knew Jesus Christ, especially when you were one of his disciples and you fought with him all the time. You know, Peter was always arguing with Jesus. And, you know, they had a close relationship. And then for him to say, I do not know him, and even curse while he was doing it. But, you know, when Jesus came alive, he told somebody to go gather the disciples. He said, and Peter. He singled Peter out. And so God in all his magnificent self, he encouraged Peter, and Peter came forth and did great and mighty works before he was martyred. Amen. Although you may get weary, you have to learn to keep on writing and keep on going. You know, yesterday we had such a mess for about the half a day with things going on here in the church, because this revival has brought every dark thing out in this church that there is. Every stupid thing. And so a half a day I had to spend trying to get that straightened out, and I needed that time to be before the Lord. So although you may get weary, and I was weary, you have to learn to keep on writing and keep on going. God, you're going to have to throw this thing together. You know, not throw, put this thing together quickly, because I'm running out of time. All right? This morning, I get up early, you know, and I was so engrossed in doing, you know, what God was telling me to do and everything and working on the night service that then I said, well, I better go get myself ready now. And Teresa came in and said, Mom, it's 10 o'clock. I hadn't even blow dried. It's still wet. And I said, I know. And then I said, oh, 10 o'clock. And so we had to run around like crazy to get ready to get to church. But God got us here. But I was so engrossed to be, you know, really, I was just caught up with God this morning that I even forgot time. And that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be so caught up in him, we will forget time. But he will always be with us. He will always be there. I'm so glad I have a love relationship with my Father. I'm so glad that he loves me. I really am. And he loves each and every one of you sitting here tonight. You can have the same relationship if you just quit your stupidity. Quit trying to prove he isn't. You spend so much time trying to prove the Bible's not true and God isn't, and you're wasting all those years. When God called me to be born again, I think I was 50. I said, then I got all upset with God. I said, God, look how many years I wasted. He said, you didn't waste any years. You were in training all those years. And this is the time I'm pulling you forth. And when he pulled me forth, it's when he pulled a lot of the other big name people forth, and we were all doing the very same thing. Are you listening? So you haven't wasted any time. Now is your time, and now is the time that you want to start walking by faith and allow God to use you. All right, look closely at the people you're riding with, those named in the Word of God and those who are around you. You will find that you are surrounded by the imperfect, the undignified, the unwanted, the rejected, and the unrecognized, and those who don't comb their hair, all right? You will find the scarred. You will find the scarred and the wounded. I just had to say that. You will find the scarred and the wounded, the crippled, the battle-weary, and the exhausted. Now let's read that again. You will find that you are surrounded by the imperfect, the undignified, the unwanted, the rejected, and the unrecognized. You will find the scarred and the wounded, the crippled, the battle-weary, and the exhausted. That's who we're going to be surrounded by, guys, because that's what's going on in the world. So don't expect kings and queens and princes and everything else be at your beck and call, bowing at your feet. This is going to happen. But that is not the entire story. These men and women rode past their feelings. That's why you're sitting here. They rode beyond the point, they rode beyond the point of emotional sensitivity. Let's read that again. But that is not the entire story. These men and women rode past their feelings. They rode beyond the point of emotional sensitivity. They are obeying the commands of God and are riding their way to victory. That's what's so wonderful looking at you guys. Come in here all messed up. watching you little by little, God changing you, rearranging you, watching you grab the reins and start doing the things God has told you to do. Even if it took you a couple years, you're still doing it. You didn't give up the fight. You put up with me chastising you, you know, and making jokes about you over the pulpit. Amen. See, I'm letting out on the loan this morning. But you're growing by leaps and bounds, and one day you'll be standing before the dignitaries, and one day you'll be telling them all the great things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you hear the sound of the army riding? Can you hear them riding to receive the promise of God? Can you hear them riding to obey the call of God on their lives? Can you hear them riding as they persevere and overcome every obstacle that gets in front of them? Let's go back and read those little things again. Can you hear the sound of the army riding? Can you hear them riding to receive the promise of God? Can you hear them riding to obey the call of God on their lives? When Brother Brett calls me and said, Aunt Barbara, I've got to let you know where I'm at. I'm not in a good place right now. See, I hear him riding to obey the call of God on his life. Or anybody else who calls me and says something like that, I hear them say, you know, I don't want to be in this place. I want to overcome this thing, and I want to ride with God, and I want to do the great and mighty things that he's called me for to do. They're honest with themselves. And they bring it to me. They're honest with me about where they're at, and they're honest before God. And see, God can deal with a person like that. Can you hear them riding as they persevere and overcome every obstacle that gets in front of them? Yeah, I can. I can watch you people, and I can see the obstacles that Satan throws in front of you, and I see you overcome those obstacles. It is never easy to overcome any obstacle that Satan places in your path, because he makes sure it's the worst obstacle that he has to throw at you. So always understand this. Even though Satan's throwing all hell at you, God has thrown the kingdom of God at you, which is all power and all authority. And he is by your side. He has not left you, nor has he forsaken you, and he's not about to leave you nor forsake you. I want to urge those who are wounded, battle-scarred, crippled, and too exhausted to get back up. Read that again. I also want to urge those who have been arguing about, is God real? Don't come to me with that junk. Don't come to me with this new age junkie or all that. I don't want to hear none of that junk. I want you to get your little head in the Bible yourself. Quit letting somebody else pour poison into your mind. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the scriptures to you. And then you go to God and say, I'm so sorry that I was stupid for all these years. Don't bring it to me, because I won't even talk to you. I don't argue the Bible. I know God is real. It's not because he's manifested himself to me. It's not because he did such great and wonderful things in my life or took me on a couple of journeys. It's not none of that. I just know he's real. You know, somebody said to me one time, well, what if when you know, they were in sin and I wasn't, I was following God. What if when you die, you'll find out there isn't heaven or hell? And I said, well, at least I've been happy all my life and you've been miserable following your God. I said, you don't have one happy day in your life because you're too busy trying to satisfy your sin nature. I said, I haven't lost anything. And I haven't. But I know one day I'm going to sit in heavenly places. And I know one day I'm going to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Then I know one day we're going to come back down here again and rule and reign 1,000 years. And God's going to use us to start his new world. I know that. I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't. But you can believe what you want to believe. And I'll believe what I want to believe. And then one day, we might be standing together and you can say, boy, I wish I'd believe what you believe. Because see, nobody's going to change my mind. I know that God is real. And believe me, I know the devil is real too. I have talked to him face to face. And I know he's ignorant. And I don't mean I talked to him face to face through a human. I mean, Satan himself came to me 3 different times and talked to me face to face. All right? He's handsome. He is. Our Jesus isn't. Do you know the word tells us that he's not? But Satan is. The word tells you that too. I know he's real. I feel sorry for anybody who doesn't believe that. All right, I want to urge those who are wounded, battle-scarred, crippled, and too exhausted to get back up. I want you to stand up now. No, don't stand up. And I want you to stand up now and mount that white horse and start riding and say this as you go. I am riding by faith. I am receiving all God has for me. I am receiving everything the Bible says belongs to me. I am obeying God and his call. I'm going to ride over the top of everything that gets in my way. I'm going to ride over the top of everything that gets in my way. I'm going to ride to victory. There are not enough devils in hell to keep me from getting my victory. I am not turning back. Nothing can stop me. By faith, here I go. And then I want you to just go. Now what we're going to do right now is we're going to play that song again. And when you decide to ride for Jesus, I would like for you to come up to the altar. Because this morning God is calling us, will you ride with me? If you answer that call to ride by faith, He's not gonna send thunder and lightning your way. This is a by faith calling this morning. So if you are going to by faith ride with him, then I want you to come to the altar and let God do whatever he wants to do with you.